to advertise, email podcast@thisismaggie.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Maggie.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Bah. You look like that Ottoman that's by Pops.
You look like one of the seven cardinal pillars.
EFF Oros man.
The all gold man.
9-9.
He looks like a Damati.
Red for danger.
Thank you for that clap of fighter.
Yes. Leader.
Leader.
Yo, chance. I'm not even, I know it's we're starting episode, but something happened to me that I have to talk
What's
about.
What's going on?
What's happening, though?
Bruh, over the weekend, a family member called me out of the blue and asked me where I want to be buried.
Wait!
And they're older than me, bruh.
Wait, who called you?
Don't they usually ask about your will and like...
They said, where do you want to be buried? Lewa homu or Jobe? Yeah, and I have to think about it quickly.
Wait, but you're going too fast.
Yeah.
Who called you?
Who's the family member?
Yeah, who is it? An aunt, an
it's
uncle?
My auntie.
An aunt called you?
Yeah. Has that ever happened? Because I thought about, is it normal?
No.
What's normal is them asking you for your ID number. So that they can put you in a funeral plan.
For them.
So that when you die, they can claim a young 10
where
down.
Do you want to be buried?
Bro, that sounded like I'm so paranoid right now. Like, I'm careful about everything I do.
Dog, and you said you were in that plane, dude.
Yeah, we were both in that plane.
Guys, so, why do we all have a fly safe story?
We were in that plane, bro. We literally... We were on the flight. So that same plane that I had to emergency land with the wheel, we were on that plane when it got to Joburg.
Yes.
Then that plane had to fly back.
But when it landed, I told the white guy next to me, I said, bro, this doesn't feel normal. Because I know a landing. A landing is a qua. That one was a qua, 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 qua. I think the tire got messed up there.
Yeah. Wheel alignment. If they can just take those planes to Tiger Wheel and Tire. Because what happens with Fly Safari, dog, I think they're running those planes too hard.
Interchange,
bro. They're becoming like taxis now.
We in the air, everybody's hot, right? But now, you know, you're thinking...
The aeroplane didn't have aircon.
Dog, how? You know, we think it's going to be on when we take off. So when we're sitting in, it's like hot. Okay, we take off. I still nothing. And now people are busy fanning themselves, you know. So I'm like, okay, maybe the problem is the aircon. Pilot says... Yo, there's an issue. There's certain lights that are lighting that he's going to try to switch off if the con system off.
Engine light. On radiator, overheat.
Like, we'll have to go back. Sharp. Also, we by the windows. Dash is like, you know, we've been rounding actually. Eh? So we started doing this thing.
In the sky.
My boy, then he says, unfortunately, what we were trying to diffuse is not... Like, the lights are still on. We are unable to detect the problem. And we'll have to fly back to Johannesburg. Utsemagasha, you tend. Do you know people panic?
Mm. I don't like people who panic.
And I'm chilled, right? But when the nigga... Because it did this thing, you know. When there's no turbulence, it like hit a young dip. The nigga next to me said, oh God, not like this, God. Yo. You know when someone's panic grabs off on you? Nigga grand, didn't I? When that nigga said, oh God, please, not like this, God. Yo, I lost it, bro.
But it's like, me like, in no a flight, more, when it starts like, when I start feeling like life, my life is in the balance, yeah. The first thing I think is like, and like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, like, you are not a great, it's like a roller coaster.
Why am I in the sky?
Who knows, maybe you're on your way to a KFC shoot.
Just like the next
guest. Yo, boys, I'm excited about our next guest, bro, because, yo, man, this guy, it's his first time ever being on a podcast.
That's big.
Ever.
We need like, you know, like a wall of fame. We need like a first timer of wall of first timers. Because Desmond Dube, it was his first podcast.
Yes.
So I think it's a thing. Like we're able to get people that don't do podcasts, but they're like, because it's the cheeses and the gangs.
Yo, man.
The V-card.
Yeah.
Yo, man. Honestly speaking, you mentioned Dez. Dez like a legend. Mm. This dude is like, he's like a younger version of Dez, right? He's a, you know, someone you can see is a legend in the making.
Yeah.
Own lane.
I think like, he has the biggest portraits of anybody that's been on the podcast.
So you're gonna put that on record. This is the biggest portraits you've seen.
Biggest portraits so on the podcast.
We need a list of gang things now, clearly.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
ladies and gentlemen. All the way from
Kaibeha.
Come on. PE legend.
Come on.
Sansa.
Yes.
TikToker.
Yes.
Computer scientist.
Yeah.
Mathematician.
Come on.
Mamela.
The numbers don't lie. Even on TikTok.
Hey.
Family man.
A son. A brother.
Come on.
A karateka.
Come on.
Please put your digital hands together.
Yeah.
Help me welcome the one, the only.
Yeah.
Chad!
Joe! Oh, yeah! Jesus.
Shapa!
Yo, gang.
Cherry Chops!
What up?
How you, my dog?
Robert.
Dinsa.
Yeah, you forgot Forbes.
Yay! Forbes under 30!
Under 30.
Forbes under 30.
Yeah.
30 under 30.
Since you are 30.
How you doing?
All good. Busy as well.
I was on the Mail and Guardian.
Hey, what was that?
No, I'm saying he's 30.
Oh?
Yeah. I was on the Mail and
Guardian. You can be a guest speaker.
Young.
For how old do you think I look?
22. No, I'm joking. 24.
Yeah, they're mid-20s.
25.
29.
Hey, bro, I'm 29 this year.
Yeah! Yeah!
What a Georgia.
And I still get asked for ID, bro.
It's because you shave your beard, bro. Leave the mustache.
Asians don't raise them.
You got a young face, my nigga.
It's the cheeks, bro.
Yeah. How are you, dog?
Yo, like I said, busy. But I mean, busy's good, I guess. Yeah. Speaking about flights, I'm flying to KFC tonight. On Sefe.
Good luck.
Good luck.
If you don't hear me.
Where do you want to be buried?
Here or for sure.
Yo, Chad Jones, bro. Thank you so much
crazy.
For coming. Thank you so much for honoring the invite, bro. You have no idea how excited we are to have you.
Thanks
here,
for having
bro.
Me, guys.
Yeah. Yo, like you have no idea.
Yeah.
Bro, there's a lot of cheese boys and cheese girls out there watching who might be looking at you going, wow, who is this handsome Asian man? So please, look into the camera, my brother. Tell us who you are. Full name. Don't come with the street name. If it's Chedwin, say the whole name.
Okay.
If it's Chandelier, you know what?
Chedli.
Is that just because I'm Asian?
No. Yeah, it's, you're gonna get canceled. No.
You're gonna get Chedli. You're gonna get drop kicked.
Okay, just say.
But now drop key come further.
He can do karate, this bro.
He can.
He did South Africa. I mean, he's represented South Africa.
As a
karate guy.
But as Chad Jones, I guess.
Not Chad Lee.
Not Chad Lee.
But not a racist, you know.
It's all good. Okay, guys. So my name is Chad. Include my second name.
Yeah, bro, everything.
Okay, Chad Stephen Jones.
Yeah. That sounds like an old R&B singer.
Yeah, bro. It's a very white name.
Stephen Jones.
I can see the album cover.
Yeah, okay, so here's the
context,
story behind it. Yeah. So our surname actually had Lee in it. So it was Lee. So I mean, you are on point.
You almost took me to the. You almost took me down. People almost took me down. You almost got me cancelled. Untrailer blind, did they manage?
And for some of my uncles, it's still there. Like they fought for it back. But
so Lee Jones.
So it used to be, it would be Chad Lee Jones.
Yeah.
But you know, during apartheid, once on the paperwork and stuff with like property, schools and everything, once they see
Lee,
just Lee, like disregarded. So I think it was a strategic family decision to take the Lee out.
Mm-hmm.
But crazy. Yeah, we've never, well, I've never gone back to try and get it back. So, yeah. So, some of my uncles are like Gavin Lee Jones, Alan Lee Jones.
So, you decided to just leave it behind.
Yeah. So, that's why I always get... Well, that's why I always got... Well, now I realize that's why I always get chosen for like Afrikaans moderations and stuff. It's like, this English guy. Chad Jones. Like, it's the most English name ever.
That's funny, bro.
Yo, bro. So...
Yeah. It's crazy. It used to be Lee. So, spot on.
I have an eye for these things, bro.
Unjaya gave me.
Yeah, one or demone get chatly.
Happy the Limpopo eye sees everything.
Everything.
What is your job?
Bawa lokazolo.
Bro, dog. Guys. Because you've never been on a platform like this, bro, right?
Yeah, and, first podcast.
And, you know, honestly speaking, bro, you're one of the most loved South Africans online by far, bro. No. Like, hands down. I've seen it when I'm with you.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I just want to know, bro, like, give us a brief history of how Chad Jones' family got to South Africa, how you guys settled in Gqeberha, and how you ended up.
Okay, so.
Everywhere.
Yeah, so I'm fourth generation. So, like.
So you've been here.
You have been here, bro. My parents have been here, bro. So they were born and raised Gqeberha. I think my great grandparents are the ones
that came to SA.
Yeah.
From
I think half the side was from Mauritius and half was from China.
Also they met when the boat was docking.
Yeah, fresh off the boat.
They met someone.
They met the...
I guess there's a petrol station at Mauritius.
In Madagascar. They met in Madagascar on the way.
Yeah, so, and then... Connecting. From then, I don't know why they didn't pass on the language. Because I can't speak. I speak more closer than Mandarin.
Oh, hectic.
Yeah.
Hey, unga asho chaps.
I can't English.
Oh, I'm English. Okay, okay.
So, like, I know when people... I know when people are talking about me.
Oh, and they're gossiping.
Oh, okay.
So, like, yeah... Coming from, I think, 1995.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like just after apartheid.
Oh, you came, you were born. Yeah,
I'm born
perfect
free.
Perfect time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Born free.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, when you said 29, born free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you fought for your rights.
Yeah, but then your school was still like an issue.
Yeah.
I don't think
I was there. I fought, yeah.
Titi, you are a year older than Chad.
Whenever, what do you mean? I'm 1 year. Yeah, I fought. I was born in apartheid.
Wait, are you 30 this year?
Yeah, no, I'm 31 this year.
Oh.
I fought. When the white nurses tried to touch me, I cried. That was my...
Which one is this
that's
one?
Not fighting, bro.
That's being born.
But that's how South Africans fight. Every time there's a problem, we sing. Safa, sapela, simnyama. They fight like me.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sorry, bro. Chad.
No. So yeah, going in school, like obviously I was the only. Well, in my school, I was like the one of the only Asian guys.
Yeah.
From like pre-primary, so I went to the same school from pre-primary straight through to high school. So, yeah. So there was a lot of
which school?
I don't know if you know it, but
Gqeberha Park Primary.
St. Dominic's Priory.
St. Dominic's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it was a private school, but it was like super small. But majority was white people, and then there was us, the PSCs. So I got like a lot of racism from the white folk.
Of course.
Yeah. Hectic. So that's
you are not alone, Chad.
You guys accepted.
Trust me. They're good at it.
You guys accepted.
You guys accepted me.
We're all together. Exactly. Yeah.
All the POCs, the colored guys, all the people that were non-white, kind of like chilled together. So I grew up with them like my whole life. Majority of my friend group being Xhosa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hanging around Xhosa friends, you start listening to the music they listen to. You start going to the parties they're going to. Yeah. And then, so a lot of people thought I learned how to like dance, boom, my piano, but I kind of grew up with it.
It's been in your blood.
Yeah, because it's like part of
bro. Like my first encounter, just to add to that, my first encounter with your content, you can almost tell someone who's taught something and someone who grew up around it the same way we also grew up around it, and it just became a part of who we are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that's when they speak about the groove of...
Yeah, same like music groove, because you also... A word on the street is that you play instruments.
Yeah, quite a few.
So you know...
I'll watch it.
I'm brother. Asian, bro. Come on, I was forced to do everything.
What do you mean?
Like Asian parents, bro.
But what culture is that? Why do they do that?
They just want you to excel in like everything.
Yeah.
That's a dope.
So as much as you might like have lost that connection.
Of life type of thing.
Yeah. So as much as you might have lost that sort of the language barrier connection, you might have lost the Lee. Right.
Yeah.
But you were kind of brought up with the same strict values
and the principles.
Yeah,
the
same principles. So like the food also carried over. Yeah. Like we eat like Asian food almost every night, as far as I remember, as a family. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there were certain aspects of culture that came through, but mostly grew up born and raised South African.
So in primary school, well, okay, seeing that it's primary and high school.
Yeah.
In school. At which point did you like fall in love with the actual art of dancing or... Where did that switch come from?
So for as far as I remember, I loved dancing from like a young age. I grew up, watching the Michael Jacksons, the Chris Browns, the Jika Majika shows on SBC One.
Aich!
Standard.
Yeah.
Nah, that's when you know, eh?
Yeah.
Did you buy like a little black and white box TV?
Bonice, eh?
Like in my room, and I just used to like tune. Well, I literally only had SBC One, and I just used to watch that.
Wait, what?
That's like a little crazy box TV, like
it didn't have
was it black and white?
Nah, you had to like tune it in manually, and it had four aerial things.
Was it like a radio as well? That TV?
Yes.
We had the same TV.
All the same struggle.
That's why I go that pops.
Rebecca specific.
Yeah, so that's how I grew up with the love for dance. And then obviously my friends listen to a lot of Cleo, Busiswa. Uh-huh. Funny thing, actually, there was a baby tape where my mom played a lot of Brenda Fassie to me when I was small.
She wanted.
So I think everything just ties up into who I am today.
This is what you're loving, my brother.
Yeah.
Bro,
everybody that was raised with Brenda Fassie has a big future.
Bro, I just want to know, man, like, so you were obviously taught all these things, or rather, you were kind of made to do and engage and learn all these things, right? What was the plan from when you were in school, coming out of school? Who did you want to be? Did your family have a direction that they were trying to push you in? Like, this is...
Of course, yeah.
This is, you need to be an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor.
No, my parents are just like, you need to make money.
Okay.
Like, or just, they just wanted me to be successful.
Standard.
Yeah. And obviously in the eyes of an Asian person, that's an accountant, an engineer, a doctor. Yeah. So from there, matriculated, I didn't know what to do. But so my choices were accounting. Yeah, but I hated accounting.
Hey, me too, bro.
Sure. But then on open day, funny enough, there was a professor, you know, they promoting the courses and stuff. And then I was like, okay, what do you have for me? And he just whipped out salaries. So I was like, I'm applying for that. And that was computer science.
Oh, woman.
Yeah.
But what was your APS from matric? Because you can't have, like, you can't just choose.
I made enough points for it. I don't know. I think the
How APS, many distinctions?
Yeah, now I only got like two. I wasn't that Asian.
Amazing, bro. A few seconds later,
there was only like two A's and one was LO. So you say get one.
You don't count the LO.
Exactly.
I think everybody got an LO.
Every black school has that one Asian guy. No one talks to him, nothing. But in the end, he gets all the distinctions.
There was an Asian bro in my
So no, this was a white school.
That guy.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
But I'm saying, I'm talking about, okay, when I'm on when you're going to cancel.
I love how you said, like, I wasn't that type of Asian.
Yeah, so I wasn't, like, I didn't strive for A's. And like, that was my sister.
Okay.
Oh. I enjoyed, like, my sport. And, like, I played first team cricket, first team hockey, tennis.
Rugby?
See, our school didn't have rugby.
What kind of white school is that?
An English one.
Matthew!
He said it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm learning so
it wasn't,
today.
It wasn't like Afrikaans. It was pretty English.
But was like academics easy for you? Because there's a difference with trying to strive for an A and just getting A's.
No, like, so yeah. So, I didn't, like, to be very honest, I didn't study in school. But I was like a 60 to 70 student.
Ah.
But like, I would only open the book the night before the test.
That's when you're cracking your head to get a 43.
Mun.
So yeah, I only started like pushing in matric because they were like, hey bro, you need to get into varsity.
Ish. And were you the ladies there at school?
Was I with the, like...
Were you the ladies guy?
You can ask the ladies.
Were you?
But no, I wouldn't say I was like, say I was a big hunter. Like,
hunter?
You're being hunted?
Nah, not even. I don't know. The school was just like, I don't know.
Yes, they were weird.
So it was a Catholic school, bro. Like, no, it was a co-ed. It was co-ed.
But yeah. So, okay, look, bro, I want to know what were some of the, and you mentioned it, right? Being in a all English school,
yeah,
only Asian kid. What were some of the things that you faced, bro? Like the racial tension.
Ish.
In the beginning, it was a lot of like racism, like straight up. Kids running up to us, my sister and I, while walking up the hill, like just like pulling their eyes and like making the ching chong noises and stuff. But like, I mean, we were taught to like not pay any mind to it, so we just carried on, I guess. And I obviously told my parents about it, and then my parents reported it, and then I actually got called into a room with like all of the people, and then I had to like pick out the guys.
Oh no!
And they had to apologize to me, like. And that was one of the reasons why I took up martial arts, actually.
Because you're like, at some point, I'm going to have to defend myself.
Yeah. And my sister, because she was at the same school.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
That's hectic.
It was just, like for precaution. But then martial arts actually teaches you not to fight. So it's like quite contradictory.
Yeah, it also teaches you how to like protect yourself, né?
Yeah.
So what dojo or which one is it?
So never throw the
that teaches you how to fight.
It also teaches you how to protect yourself.
I was about to say, isn't it the same thing?
No, sorry. Like, I was trying to figure out which one then teaches you how to fight.
Like self-defense. Oh, no. So most of martial arts, I think, is for self-defense, maybe. Yeah. It's not like, I'm not going to take martial arts to try and go beat up that guy, you know? I think that was my intention first. Like, next time this guy comes to me,
I'm going
to
beat
him. I'm going to show him. Yeah. You know? But then it actually tells you, like, just be the better man. But if he attacks you, you know.
So which rank did you end at?
First Dan.
He repped the country, bro.
I mean, I could have went further, but the grading process got a bit too much because you had to like write a thesis on like, you choose a certain move and then you write a thesis on how it's trained, how you breathe.
The Chuck Norris roundhouse kick. Very important. That's
great. I actually did a roundhouse kick for my first thesis, yeah.
So now did you have to hammer somebody there at school? Did somebody actually come?
No one fights with me at school.
So you've never been
in Kavecha, no one knew to fight with me in the clubs either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were people who asked me while in my clubbing days, like the teenage years, they would come up to ask me and be like, look, yeah, there's this guy who wants to cause crap and ask me to like back them up. And I'd be like, nah, bro. Just see who the guy is first. Guy walks out, I end up knowing the guy.
Then amicably.
Yeah, but like everyone knew I could fight. So, like I was kicking people your height when I was, I think, shorter than what I am now.
Hectic.
Yeah.
Yo.
So, I mean, I'm kind of that Asian when it comes to that.
Earlier, I was like, hey,
come to
our room. But hey, now I had a hot man.
Nah, but I'm passive. I've never got into a fight, only in competition.
When would you say that tide started turning for you in your school journey, right? Going from being the outcast to being accepted. And did you ever have to do things like that were out of character to try and fit in?
Not really. My friends that I grew up with, like I just chilled around them. And obviously once we, like being a small school, we all grow, like we go through the grades together and people everyone just starts becoming like a family, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the nice thing about being in that school as a family. But no, I don't think I tried to do anything to fit in. Like with the dancing and stuff, it just came naturally.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed what my friends enjoyed. So yeah, I don't think no.
And there was there's history of dance in your family.
Yeah. This history of like music and dance.
Ballroom.
Yeah. Yes. Your mom.
Yeah. No, so my grand.
Your grand.
Yeah, my grand did line dancing. She did it for quite a while. And then my mom and dad did ballroom. And then my grandfathers on both sides, like they were very good with like piano, guitar. So yeah, I was kind of brought up around that as well.
So it's in the genes, bro.
Yeah.
It's in the DNA, yeah.
Do you think you can do like music? Sorry.
Yeah.
Do you think you can do music?
Yeah, so I did produce my own music.
How?
Yeah, in my spare time in varsity, but I didn't release it. It was just for me.
What genre?
Mostly R&B.
Hey, I told you that man is a ladies guy. Not TV. I knew
it. Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones.
I like to like mix around and stuff as well.
And how many instruments do you know how to play?
So I was the school drummer.
Standard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I literally turned all those hymns into like drum tracks. Hail St. Dominic. Yo, and then everyone, all the POCs are jiving in the background. Funny thing is, I can't read music as well.
Is it?
Yeah, so I play by ear.
Same WhatsApp group.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
You know what I'm feeling from you? And this guy is just passively brilliant.
Yes.
You're right.
Like, everything that you've said, like getting 70s without studying. Man, you know how hard I worked for my 60s? I worked hard, bro. And then you play music, you can't read music. I produced in my spare time.
I've always wanted to read music though.
I danced. I just learned the other day. Man, I can't dance, bro.
I mean, if my parents can, you can.
Yeah. If Uncle Wayne, you know, when Uncle Wayne dances, I see myself.
Amara, that man, you can see in his face. You can see in his face that he's putting effort.
He's counting. That's what I do.
And I tell them not to count.
Their lips. So I think you teach them to count.
Yeah.
And so for someone to be comfortable, they're going to want to keep counting.
Yeah.
To remember
exactly.
What you were teaching them.
Exactly. So I think that's why he's just always like serious. And
bro, now that we're on your parents' chat, how do they feel from them wanting you to be successful in terms of maybe their career choice and from what you've studied to you being a content creator?
Yeah, so obviously that chat was quite like transitioning from the engineering to the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've paid for my education I didn't get any bursaries or anything. So like with my degree and stuff, it was pretty expensive. And I landed a good job. So now I'm thinking like, how do I tell like my parents that I want to make videos for a living? But then it clicked in my mind, they're part of the videos. Like they know about the brands that approach me. They know how much I could potentially make or how much I could negotiate. So like it was very calculated because I'm not going to leave my job. If it doesn't pay more.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's my passion, like we need to eat at the end of the day. So yeah, I tried doing both for 1 year and then it just got too much because software engineering is very like demanding of your time.
Mm.
And then there was one thing that clicked, I think like a tourist company in Durban, they came to me and they're like, yeah, Chad, want you for 2 weeks. All you have to do is post stories. Maybe like one wrap up like post.
Real, like yeah.
Yeah. We'll send you we'll build an itinerary for you and everything. And we'll pay you like 50K. And at that time that was almost double what I was earning as
your
an
salary. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was working in Cabeja, so like the pay there isn't that great, but like the cost of living is very low as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I had to let that down because they were like, I was like, I'm interested, but like, you're leaving tomorrow.
You have to say no to it.
Yeah.
How much did you have in your bank account that time?
Yeah.
Less than that, less, 50K.
Yeah, no, less than like 100K, I think.
Less than 100K.
No,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
bro, that's so crazy that you had to reach that point, right? Because
that's what clicked. I was like,
yes,
yo, like there's gonna be so many. If this I'm growing at this
I get this consistently, it's mad
coins. So then I like literally put it all together, and I was like, look, mom and dad, if I can do this, these are all the jobs that I've let down on the social media side, uh-huh, and what this I could have earned.
The seller month end.
And this is my salary that I'm earning now. And it almost like quadrupled it. And they were like, okay, my boy, if you can just get work every month, we'll support you 100%.
And boy,
hey, that's so dope. Boy, have they been working all month?
So I want to know, bro. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, but then that's when I decided to like invest in myself. If I'm doing this, I'm going all in, like buying a camera, buying mics, using the money I actually earned from the software dev job. Yeah.
So you basically just invested in yourself.
Yeah.
In every type of way, right?
Like, look, equipment. You have 2 years experience in the software industry. So if anything happens, you can fall back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that gave me like a net and I think comfort, yeah.
I think when it comes to Auntie Gail and Uncle Wayne, bro, they've done their part, right?
Yeah, done more than
that. Right? Yeah. They raised you properly. They fed you the right food all these years. Literally they put you in the right schools. Where I am
today, yeah.
You know, they made sure you learn all these tricks and trades and instruments and all of that, right? Got your degree, got your 2 years in the game, and then got you to a point where you can decide your future.
Exactly.
And I understand what it's like. Well, I don't understand what it's like being a child of strict Asian parents, or just Asian parents, you know, without the strict. But there's certain things you almost kind of feel like your parents expect from you.
Yeah.
What society expects from you, what people in your culture expect from you.
What your actual capacity is.
But then you have a love for this certain thing, right? Mm. It's something that you love doing, and it's something you know that if you put as much time and effort as you do into your job, you could excel at it, right?
Exactly.
So I want to know, when did you realize this, right? When was the first video or the first thing that you did that made you realize, this is the path I want to follow?
And the decision I wasn't wrong with the decision I made.
Okay, so it was the Durban thing that just like alerted me, the tourism thing.
That was the thing that alerted me. Yeah. Where did your social media journey begin?
Began in lockdown.
Yeah.
Like beginning level 5. So yeah, so I've only been like 3-4 years in the game.
I thought you were dancing since Mshoza.
I mean, I was.
Dancing, yes, but not like, online.
But like not like, that. Showing everyone.
Okay.
So like, I would go to the clubs or to parties and I'd dance there. And everyone's like, oh, can dance and stuff. But I'd
be the guy in the circle.
Yeah. Well, it would just be like, it's just the Asian guy. And then,
boom.
You finished it.
Yeah. So,
were all your shoes finished?
No. So I had separate club shoes.
What?
Yeah, bro. Don't you know? Dancers,
so the plain ones, the plain white ones from like Mr. Price for like $100. Those are the ones you got.
Can't just be rocking.
Dancers shoes. Haven't you seen Theo from Mafikizolo's shoes? They finish all of them.
Which one?
Corner. Corner, it's finish your soul.
But like that's a real thing. Like, and you're a sneaker lover, so you
love
because
I love sneakers
like,
as well. Yeah,
actually, wait.
Shoes coming to
pops. You change shoes to drive, dude.
Yeah, I don't drive with my shoes on.
Exactly, so it's the same thing.
Actually, I shouldn't say that because that's illegal. So yeah, I have driving shoes. I have driving shoes. No,
your socks.
I have driving shoes.
But same principle.
No, it depends
if it's an auto.
No. Even if it's an auto,
because
you're gonna fold the one side, right? So you're gonna get creases on the one foot. Because when you drive an auto, you use one foot.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm driving a manual, same thing.
Wait, I don't get creases.
Those are wool, man.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying, don't you only like, crease when you step?
When you watch your toes. So I don't know why Pops is driving with his toes.
No. You don't want to crease the back,
guys. Drive. So I drive with this part of my foot.
Oh, so that's where the crease comes in. Okay.
So you guys probably drive with like
the whole foot.
Me, I drive with the tip because I sit all the way back.
Oh, you do that thing where your sole pivots.
Yes, so that's how I drive.
Oh, heck,
like that.
In the quid, just a finger.
You drive with
the
your fingers.
Big toe.
With a big toe.
Clean.
No creasage.
No nothing.
So yeah, bro, that's how I didn't know.
Yeah, you're back to your question.
Yeah. I didn't know that dancers have separate shoes to dance. That's so crazy.
No, because I knew the clubs were filthy, bro.
Dude, do you know what's crazy? That's why I get, like, if they invite me to a place and they just want me to talk, and then all of a sudden they want me to dance, they think it's that easy. Like, ah, Robert, let's just play a song, then you dance. In my head, I'm like, hey, these are the custom Ricky Rick 2000s. I'm not trying
these
to dance
to these Air Forces. Bro, yeah.
So that's the jet.
So you do gigs where halfway through they're like, if you don't mind.
Yeah, bro. That's no, why Tommy's were mostly bought by dancers. You remember the Tommy shoes, the Masantas? Yes. Mostly were bought by dancers. Well, where I've come from, a lot of dancers used to dance in like Cavellas or like Tommy's.
Let's go to Ernest.
No, they were not Amabuja. Not Amabuja, not Mabuja at the time. Yeah, Mara, this has nothing to do with this thing. Let's continue.
So like I said, it started in lockdown.
Started in lockdown.
Yeah. So
video, bro.
Yeah, I didn't know what TikTok was before lockdown.
So you were an Asian man who didn't know what TikTok was.
Literally.
Pops.
I mean, he's not lying.
That one.
Am I getting canceled?
Yeah, that one's the problem.
Borderline.
Yeah, that one.
Isn't it getting like banned in the US now?
You see?
Because it's owned by Asian companies.
Exactly.
Or
yeah. TikTok has gotten this flag because it's an Asian company, right? Mm. They try to shut it down.
Well, the US.
But they're
still talking.
Yeah, they don't know.
But yeah,
they're our ally.
I just downloaded it, saw these couple, you know, those stupid dancers, man.
Yeah.
The small ones.
Shame, dog. Poor people that are doing these small dances.
Nah, is it not
professional dance? That's stupid.
isn't it dead now, though? It's like dead now, though.
Yeah, but it's what started the movement.
Yeah, right? It was like trendy at the time, I guess. And then I think my family and I did like two of them.
And then, so your first videos were with mom and dad?
Yes, from the beginning.
And
like wow, video that's one. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Bro, can I ask you a question before we get into the dancing? I want to ask you this. How are you honest with your parents with your financials? Because I want to have people asking me.
My mom's my accountant.
Boom.
Yo, that finished your whole thing. How transparent that? My mom does my banking. Okay.
From the beginning, from the onset, your mom was your accountant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I don't know, Robert.
I know where you're going.
Because you are close with your family. Now, me, maybe there's issues. Or when, I don't know. Pops also is... I mean, there's issues, bro. I don't trust them.
Well, if you have family members asking where you want to be buried.
You understand?
Like,
yeah, I know, right? Like,
it's a bit sus, bro.
That's the
like,
measure.
People yeah. there, I'm like, I'm very close with my family, right?
Yeah.
Just not very transparent when it comes to certain things. Like, I'm close with cousins of mine and certain family members. But it's very difficult. Like, I find it, like, that's why for me, it's a, what's it, a cognitive dissonance when you say,
Oxford.
Okay,
Congolese,
changed,
carry on.
So for me, it is like, when you say like, yo, I showed my parents how much I earn on the onset. If I showed like some family members, like my bank statement,
every day.
Yeah. Trust me, not that it would be every day, but I know that there would be like big repercussions. And I don't think that is what you just spoke about, Chad, is a normal thing in most of South Africa.
It's a cultural thing. And I'll give you an opportunity to respond to what Zizi's saying. But to back up what Zizi's saying, I think we grew around our families and our culture, money is a secretive thing. The only time that your household kind of knows how much you earn is when you get your first salary, right? Because your first salary has to come home.
And it's like a celebration.
It's a celebration. So you have to bring your whole first salary. And then your grandmother must pray for it. And then they're going to put snafu around it and they're going to pray. You're going to bless because it's your first salary. So you bring it home. No. And then they give you back enough money for transport and lunch for that month. That salary goes to the house.
Okay.
That's what happens with your first salary.
Okay.
Then the rest, the rest of the salary is yours. But to echo what Zizi is saying, a lot of the times in our culture as well, if the people in our families knew just how much you were making.
Like aunts and uncles.
Yes.
Like,
or even your parents. Like sometimes there's numbers that even today where I go, if my mom knew this, she would freak out.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas with you, you're able to go, hey, mom, dad, there's a new campaign coming in. It's paying, let's say, half a bar, whatever. This is the thing, what. Or the Tropica money just came in. Boo, we got a bar.
Sharp.
You know what I mean? With us, we're always worried about the change of behavior of the people in our lives.
Yep.
Once they learn about certain amounts, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We worry that.
Yeah. Might see our mothers on I Blew It.
So I
used to be my son's accountant,
but imagine.
Austria sent me a poster of Konka. Black coffee and carbs. I said, woo, we are there.
Bro,
I booked five tables. Yeah. Like, the thing is, because there's already a perception of you being on TV, dog. Just you being, dog. I remember my first commercial, Wimpy, or Coke commercial and Wimpy. Bro, my aunt, so he has a straight mile. And he's on TV every day. So already there's that thing for us. Like, you just being on TV, dog, they think like
you're rich.
Now, what more if they knew the actual numbers? And without them even understanding what you're trying to do with that money and where you want to put that money in and where you're investing. Yeah. It's like, to them, it's like, yo, you got 500K. Where is it?
Mm.
And it's like,
and it's like, just because you're family related, they think you kind of owe it to them.
It's like Chris Tucker said, and I'm not saying Chris Tucker because of any, I'm just saying Chris Tucker.
Speaking, dog, we're on Rush Hour now.
Rush Hour 5 this episode.
It's like, maybe me and you must do something like that.
We'll call it traffic.
A skit, man.
Good.
And robot can be the robot.
I know, right? That would be dope.
That would be a cool thing.
No, but Chris Tucker once said he got paid $20 million for a movie. And one of his cousins was like, yeah, we're rich. We're rich. And he's like, no,
I'm rich.
You know what I mean? That, but I think, I think we could learn a lot from that. Bro.
Yeah.
Like, that transparency, that unity, because that's what's helped build you and build 100%. Your career, right?
But yeah, it's like, it's only immediate family that know as well.
Yeah.
So my mom, my dad, and my sister, that's all. That's all.
That's too many people.
And I obviously trust them not to go tell like uncle this, uncle that, auntie this. Yeah. Exactly. So all the aunties and uncles just must know that I'm on TV and that's that.
That's dope. We're not even at a funeral, Chad. I'm complaining, dog. Like, I want life. I feel like
they've taken too much from you.
Even at a funeral, you sit differently depending on your salary. When I was not working, I used to sit at the funeral, at the graveyard. I was in the sun. Now I'm in the gazebo.
With an umbrella.
With an umbrella. And when I cry, they give me apple ties.
Apple
ties. Tissues on the side.
I'm a breadwinner at that funeral, bitch. Ish.
So the whole family knows this.
You know, I used to think that it's nice treatment, but they treat you nicely, and then, bah, they give you something to pay for.
Sure.
It's like, it's like being called into a serious meeting.
Now you're burying somebody you only said hi to 7 years ago. Financially.
Sure.
But it's fine. You know, I love
it. Yeah. Rather get buried in Job.
Yo, I want to ask, bro, now that you like committed this side and you're fully immersed in this content life, is there anything you're applying that you learned from your previous workspace into this digital world?
I'd say diligence and consistency.
Bars.
Yeah. So I figured out, like, you keep growing once people keep seeing you.
Mm.
I mean, don't throw it out there for them, like, don't shove it down their throats. But once people see you, they're like, you grow community and they want to see you more and more and more. And then I always try and find ways of like how I can make it different. If you come out of the challenge, I'll be like, okay, I'll do the choreo, but how can I make it
ours? Add some spice and stuff.
Yeah. So if you see, like, most of the challenges we do, the moves aren't exactly the same. Obviously, as well, it's like to cater for my parents as well.
Got you.
Yeah, but I think, just diligence, pushing, and hardworking. Like I said, I wasn't that A student Asian, but I did work hard.
Yeah. What language did you program in?
C#, Java.
What did you make? What were you making?
So my company, I was contracted out to a company in the UK, but I worked from home, from SA, yeah.
But
so
really,
what they did was they created like a solution that monitored the performance of like machinery on a factory floor.
Mm.
So they had clients like Coca-Cola and all of that. And then their software would check if this can's into spec. If it's not into spec, why? And I'll look, go back and look at the machine. Why is the machine not making the can to spec? Oh, because it's faulty, it needs a service. So it's, it was that type of software that, that they offered as a solution.
Did you like it?
Well, I mean, I paid the bills. But I mean, I got sent away to the UK for like three months to train and stuff, which was pretty cool. It was a good opportunity. But yeah, the work did kind of become metonymous.
Monotonous.
What? that word. But like I did, I asked them for new work and everything, but like they were like, nah, you're pretty good at what you're doing. It's very niche. And then, so actually, funny thing, I was planning to resign from my job after 2 years anyways. And I wanted to go apply to the University of Beijing to learn my mother tongue.
Oh, dope.
Oh, that's dope.
That's
crazy, bro.
But then TikTok happened.
And now.
And I'm still here.
Now you're learning sounds now.
Yeah.
That's crazy though. Like the
that's so beautiful,
the passion, like the desire that you have to still want to do that. I think that's dope, and I think that's something you should do, bro. Like if you find the time, you know.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to ask, with regards to your content and your relationship with your followers, what's the coolest comment you've gotten, and what's the weirdest one you've received?
Sure. The coolest one would always have to be like, you should be grateful that, well, not you should be grateful, but it's like in a, they would word it as if like, yeah, you're so lucky that you get to do what you love with your family.
Oh, that is.
Because like, some of us wish we even had parents like that, or we had like some sort of relationship with family. So I think I also give like other people, it's like a family vibe.
Yeah, bro.
The weirdest comment, I'm not sure. It's probably like something to do with my race or something.
Okay. but that's expected, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of hate in the beginning as well, because it was during COVID and we're Chinese.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was like,
go why back. Are you guys saying all? Yeah.
What do you guys, what do you Pops, mean, we man? Can play the trip back. We all said all at the same time. I'm so why are you saying you guys?
I was.
Oh. Yeah. So it was like,
why back. Are you guys saying, oh? Yeah. It's following you guys. Why did you say, oh?
He was going, Wuhan.
No, I don't like it.
That man won't test.
No. That man would not realize.
No, I'm just joking. I thought I heard that.
I mean, I like the fact that you make fun of it. It's just that I can't participate.
You can't what?
Participate. Participate. You're not you.
You're right. You said it. Participate.
Pops, man, it makes us feel like we're questioning ourselves, man. I also have what? No, the comments.
The comments are gonna tell you to participate.
Born. What I'm saying is, man, I understand your journey because I have a very. That's funny, bro.
You started there for a bit. Understand.
I understand your journey because in that time, right, there was a lot of misinformation going around. And you know, it was easy for people to participate in
you?
Okay, this time. No, you said it right first, Pops.
Yeah, you said it. I think you're just getting way. The T and the C wrong.
Guys, I'm like Chad. I listen.
I'm the ghost here, so you guys carry on. The...
No, but like, I understand.
Tell us about your participation.
So I'm saying,
participate.
Imagine we try to find family members now, friends, because our families are killing us.
But yeah, like no, I understand what you're saying, especially like in the beginning. Especially in the beginning, like no one kind of knew who I was, where I was from. So it was just like an Asian guy with his family trying to do South African or African style dances. So like, I mean, it was pretty rough. The comments were like rough.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I had to delete like there were nights where I just stayed up deleting, because if my parents saw it,
actually, like, I was going to ask, yeah.
Break them too.
Yeah. So, and then they'll be like, no, we're never doing this again.
Bruh, do you have a cousin maybe who's still, I don't know, nah, if who's still maybe in Asia or what? Who's
still, probably, I think so.
Obvious you have it, nah, but now they see you.
Obvious.
What do you mean? You said you're first generation, you have so there must be some people there.
Yeah, no, I think I do have like...
No, no, but I'm coming to the... Okay, and, yeah. But they see you now, you're making it on the TikTok, and then they say, hey, cousin!
No, I have no contact with any of the family overseas.
Okay.
So they probably don't even know who I am.
Ish.
But apparently my videos were going viral in China as well.
Of course.
On WeChat, though.
On WeChat. Oh,
WeChat.
Yeah, apparently WeChat's like...
It's big.
It's not big that side, yeah.
Like they literally use it for payment, they use it for social media, they use it for everything.
Mm.
Oh, that's dope. So that when you go to the university, at least you'll have some...
Hey, we'll see. I mean, we all look the, we all look the same, so...
Now you're gonna get cancelled, bro.
No, Chad. No,
the people
no,
are being cancelled no. today. See, Chad.
I feel like I have a right to say that, dude.
Ah, you from Quebec? And your name is Chad Jones.
Man.
And you, if you were Chad Lee Jones.
Yeah. No, but yeah, a lot of people like I get it from like all races as well, colored, white, black, like back. Like from a while ago, there I get a few people say, "Yeah, you guys all look the same." Not like in a offensive way, but like you guys actually like all look the same. But now people are recognizing me, so
you see, they were lying.
Yeah, I stay in Sunning Hill.
Hey,
hey.
What a waterfall, Sunning.
Oh, Sunning Hill here. I thought you said Sunnyside. Sorry.
Oh no.
Yeah.
There's actually quite a lot of Asians
around that area.
Yeah. But people still recognize me.
Wait, there's a lot of Asian people in Sunning Hill?
And like waterfall area, yeah.
Why?
Yo, man.
I don't know.
Did you just say why? Why?
No, I'm saying like it's it's strange for a place to be demarcated to a specific race day and age.
I just noticed.
Really? Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, not so. Like, Matthew, whoa. You can't. Okay, guys. Matthew, okay. Wait. Let me focus here. I'm saying outside of places that were previously like, you know, like apartheid areas, like your Krugersdorps, your Soweto's and stuff like that. Right now, when we're talking about complexes and all that stuff, it's very difficult for you to find a place that's racially demarcated to one specific race. You understand? I live in Walkerville, bruh. You get what I'm saying?
No one gets what you say.
Really?
Hey, okay.
Chad, my guy. Bro, you mentioned being busy, right?
Yeah.
And I saw your face when you said you're like, I'm busy, but it's good, right? Does it ever become too much?
Sometimes.
And what do you do when it becomes too much? And would you say you were prepared for this? Because I know busy means blessings, but sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, did you anticipate that you would blow up like this? And now that you have, what are you doing to cope?
Yeah, so first of all, no, I didn't expect this at all. Like I thought I was just going to be in my job, work for like 30 years, you know. That's like kind of like a PE mentality. Like, sorry to say for all the Quebec people, but like, there's a certain mentality there, like majority they have, get a job, get married, have a baby, buy a bucky, and you've made it. Like that, you made it in life after that. But being in the situation now and like just seeing how all the brands want to be associated with me, and like I like almost every brand. So some, like I think 2 years ago someone called me a brand whore. Because I was just saying yes to everything.
Mm. But I've been called the same.
I was about to say.
Yeah, no,
it's okay. We are just lovers of brands. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also that was my strategy to say yes to everything, so I could be seen with every
visibility.
Yes. So and now I'm getting to the point where I can choose my brands.
Deciding exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still very busy. Like, unlike most content creators, I don't have a team. My team is me.
And mom and dad.
Yeah. Mm. But besides them, I do my admin. I do...
Content planning.
I do my videography. I do my editing. I do everything. Yeah.
So not only do you shoot your stuff, you edit your stuff as well.
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro. So look, I wanted to know, based on where you are right now, right? And again, and I want you to also answer the part about like what you do when you get overwhelmed and
yeah,
how you sort of relax or take time off. But also, what's the plan? Like going forward, what is the plan? I know you say you didn't expect to be Forbes 30 under 30.
Yeah, not at all.
But what does the future plan look like? What do you want this to sort of become in the future?
So I would say I want to build like a legacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like something that in 20 years, someone like in the street who took a photo with me saying, oh, I remember taking photo with you. And now you own this brand that's helping a lot of people and stuff. Like. So I want to do a lot of like giving back.
Oh, I love that.
So that's why we're starting this brand. It's derived from our hashtag.
Yeah.
So funny enough.
They use Jones.
So yeah, funny. Let me tell you the story about that hashtag. So the hashtag was supposed to be your Jones family, but you are. Like, you know, you mix it on mix it like, yeah, yeah. But I forgot the R. So then like 150 videos down later. Because you know, I just copied the
copy paste.
And then everyone's saying, hashtag Ooh Jones. And I'm like,
huh? And then you went back and you're like, oh, snap.
And I'm like, yo, that I forgot the R. Yeah. So, I mean, it just all kind of worked out now.
Yeah.
People say Ooh Jones. Like, people say Ooh Jones. Yeah. So what we plan for this to be is like collabing with like charities or underprivileged, like, mm-hmm. Someone buys a shirt, portion goes towards a charity, and then like that's just giving back in general, because I mean it's the people who got me here to where I am today.
So you're building a clothing brand. Are there any future plans in developing some sort of dance academy, some sort of
event? Yeah, so it'll start off like as a small merch, and then we want to create it into a foundation type of thing.
Okay.
So, and maybe we can hold events and stuff,
yeah,
that holds the dancers. Yeah. And,
dope.
Like, because I don't know, one day my sister and I were just sitting, and then my sister's like, Chad, you know how many like huge brands that you are associated with, like in your network, and how much good like we could do with this? And even just how much content creators you know, how much like influential people, you know, and you could do so much. We could be like the Sia Khaleesi Foundation.
Yeah, literally.
So, yeah. So that's kind of what our goal is striving to be. But like, yeah, we have no experience in any of this stuff. So, I mean, I guess we're going to learn as we go.
Man. I just want to take this time, bro, to shout out Auntie Gail and Uncle Wayne for raising a phenomenal human being. Right, yeah. Because, dude, you're an exceptionally nice guy, right?
Thanks,
like,
man, like
with all your success, with all your strengths, your capabilities, there's no arrogance about you. You're down to earth. You're a nice dude, and you know, and this is what I like about genuine quality people is that sometimes you don't realize how much of a superstar you are. I remember we did a Netflix shoot together, right?
Yeah.
And on that set was, you know, like Connie Ferguson, Cabello Mabalani, Gail, you know, all these shows from Netflix, all the biggest people.
That mashup ad you guys
did. That mashup ad we did, right?
Big names.
So we were all shooting this. It was somewhere in Randburg. And I remember, bro, when you got on set, all of us were starstruck, you know? So it's like,
yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
Right? It's like seeing all these people, all these prominent people starstruck at Chad, right? Like,
that is
literally, we all lined up to take pictures with him after the shoot. Not like fans, but that speaks volumes of who you are and the kind of impact that you are.
That you've built.
And and through it all, bro, you've remained this genuine guy, this humble guy, down to earth, and you just focus on your work. To all the Cheese Gang and the Cheese Boys and Cheese Girls out there watching, what advice would you have for people who are trying to do what you do, who are trying to play in your lane? Like, what advice do you have for people who are trying to, I don't know, make make it out of their situation or better the situation that they're in.
Yeah, so advice I'd give. Obviously, stay true to yourself. No one can be you. Don't try and be someone else. What makes people watch you is for who you are.
Mm.
Like if you're going to try and act like someone else, they might as well just go watch someone else. If you're taking the craft seriously, work extra hard to save up, buy yourself some nice equipment. I think remain humility. There's always someone bigger than you. Yeah. There's no point in being arrogant. I mean, why be arrogant when you can be nice? The people that I've met, like influential people, you guys all are nice as well.
Thank you, man.
So when people say like, you're not arrogant, I kind of don't understand, because everyone I've met in the industry, I know first impressions are always like good. Everyone I've met is also like really nice to me. So remain humble, invest in yourself, and just keep pushing. Don't do it for the views and the money and the fame. That'll come as you progress. Yeah. That statement, doing what you love, it's an actual real thing. Yeah. It's cliche as well.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing. Like people see you enjoying what you do and you're good at it, things will happen.
Yeah. That's nice.
Shout out, man. Like, thank you for coming.
That's nice. Thanks for having me, bro. It was pretty.
So, is there anyone you don't like?
Let me think. One of my teachers back in the day.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's talk about that. Oh, what?
Dude, you're trying to end the show on a nice note.
What do you mean? You are denying the people information of a nice guy who does not like one person in the world.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Competition, yes.
You said competition.
Okay.
A street fight?
So you've never been in like a situation where you... Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Never, ever.
And is it because you always calm it down? Like you said earlier.
Yeah, I'll try. Okay. But no one's actually like tried to throw a punch at me. I have.
Here we go.
On the hockey field. Yeah.
Okay.
So on the hockey field, I was like the dribbler.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like strive for goals, everything. My goal was to embarrass a defender.
So you were doing spy twos.
Yeah, I was making him turn 45s and then my teammates like literally just threw their sticks on the ground, started laughing at him.
Oh no.
And then he got angry and he tried to headbutt me.
Gandhi, he didn't know. Right.
No, I dodged and I just hit him in the throat. Yeah. And then it was finished.
You hit him in the throat.
Yeah, and it was finished.
And he was coughing.
Yeah, and then it was over. I couldn't breathe.
So, real quick.
That's the worst thing ever.
Like, I wasn't gonna like carry on like
done.
Yeah, he's, it's just self-defense. So yeah. I just hit him in the spot so he wouldn't continue to hit me.
Yo, disarmed.
Then we both got sent off and that was that.
Hey,
so nice. So the only fight I've got into lasted like 10 seconds.
If you are out there and you are thinking, let me fight Chad Jones, remember this. 10 seconds.
Yeah, if you just do that, you can just feel it. And that's not even like a hard pressure.
Imagine with the real pressure.
Yeah.
But the problem is when we're in fights, we try to go for the face. I want to tumpa you in the face. But then I miss.
Then I exactly.
Get, then I get.
So most people who want to fight can't fight. So yes, I'll say, don't be scared
that's
of people
so scary,
who want to come
at you. Do you know what's scary is that you're saying all this stuff with the calmest face ever.
Sure.
Like the scariest thing ever, bro.
Message from Chad Jones. Most people who want to fight can't fight. Most people want to shoot can't shoot. Why? Because they don't know where to shoot. Steaming Studios, secret location here in Pakistan. Mpo Pops.
Well, you've heard from the legend himself, dance maker, computer programmer, former student at Dominican...
St. Dominic's Primary. Priory. But it is
primary into high school.
Intermediate high school, yeah.
Hey, there was a middle center.
Yeah. So there's pre-primary
grade intermediate. 7.5.
Yeah. So it's like grade zero. Started from grade zero.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yo, Chad Jones, bro.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking, I you are like a marvel, right? You're a once in a life.
Guys are too nice.
No, dog. Like, honestly speaking, and what I love about South Africans, if you look online, right, we love love and we love positivity. As much as we have all of this stuff happening in and around us, we love positivity. We love seeing the good guy win. So to all of us who follow you, who see what you're doing with your family, we love seeing that, bro. You, your mom, your dad, you spread so much positivity in South Africa. And on behalf of everyone that follows you, on behalf of everyone whose lives you've touched with just your positivity, with dad's dance moves, you know, like, mom kills it. Mom, hey, me and Papa Wayne, we're the same.
She enjoys it, like, hectically.
But I just want to say thank you, bro. Thank you. And may you continue being that, like, that beacon of light and that, like, positive thing that we look forward to seeing, right? With your content. And my advice to you is, if you ever get to a point where it's too much, take the time off, bro.
Yeah,
you know,
we haven't taken a holiday in 3 years.
We'll understand. Take the time off. The burnout is real. You also don't want to let down the people who you've made all these promises to.
That's true.
You feel like this is all a blessing. I never thought I'd get all of this, so let me just take it. But you got to remember that this is your life now.
Yeah.
You know, you got to decide when to work, when not to work. You got to take time off because you need to recharge the batteries because we want to see you at your best. Right?
Of course.
Yeah. So remember that, bro. But yo, man, continue doing what you're doing, bro.
Yeah. Shout out for having me on the show.
Our way. No,
shout out.
Yeah, and thanks to you guys as well. Like, everyone here as well. It's like, it's when I see, it's like inspiring as well.
My man, Chad, a lot of South Africans might have been sleeping on you, especially those you went to school with.
A lot of South Africans still think I'm from China.
You see what I mean? Only they knew you're from Mauritius. Chad.
I'm a hybrid of both.
Yo, many people might have slept on you, bro. But we on Popcorn and Cheese are not sleeping on you, my dog.
Shout out.
As a token of our appreciation, we want to give you this pillow because we are people from the South. Anytime anybody sleeps on you, we want you to remember. Yeah. Show them that pillow. The only person who can sleep on themselves is you, my brother, on that pillow. Aich.
So yeah, shout out, bro.
Shout out.
Danko, guys.
Chad Jones, my favorite.
Yo, man, that was Chad Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Before we continue, Deej, did I have things that I walked in with here? It's a family show, man. There's a picture as well. All right. Announcements. Stizzy, what do you have?
28th of June is my dream come true. The Lyric Theater. The tickets are live at the moment, live on web tickets. So get your tickets on web tickets. It's gonna be one of those. So it's gonna be a great one. We actually did Quebec a couple of weeks ago, and it was incredible. And so yeah, get your tickets on web tickets to stream my live on at the Lyric Theater. This is a dream come true, so make sure you come. Shapa.
Robito.
Flavortron, green, more fire, care, and you can't miss it. If you, no matter where you are in the world, keep the same energy. Hardy Boss remix song is out. My Chance is also coming out. Kuma Kuma's coming out. New music and clean. And also, I'm still supporting local brands, man. So if you have dope stuff that you want to be plugged, ROPOT_POTLA.
Yo, I just want to send a shout out to this artist.
guys, what's going on? It's tough.
Sorry, it's my wife.
But how with 60 apps in, you still don't put your phone on silent?
It bypasses it.
So
you guys look
so like, this was a guy.
It looks like,
so this, first of all, I said to him, where's Titi? And he said, he's coming. So this was an artist in Durban when we did. I had his name. It's just, it's been so many weeks. So when we did Podcast and Chill Durban, Durban Leg, I got this from a young artist. But every time I show this to someone, they're like, which one is you?
I know. I was about to say.
It looks like one person.
We look like super strikers.
Yeah.
Yo, like, no, but
you look like future convicts.
Shout out to the young man, man.
Shout out.
And then yes, I know it's been weeks, but yeah. Comic of the year.
Comic of the year.
Thank you, my dog.
Poporito.
Well
deserved, bro.
Yeah, man. Big shout out to
finally actually
to my comrades in comedy. Thank you to everyone that voted for me, and thank you to everyone that supports me. And then on a very sad note, I know it's been some time, but
yeah,
want to say R.I.P. to Peter Machata. We lost a brother in the comedy fraternity very tragically.
Yep.
So condolences to his fans, his friends and his family.
Family, yeah.
Yeah, man. And then of course, 8th of June, we celebrate Empress Palace and Pop Pop's birthday comedy special. Chad Jones, what would you like to selfishly plug, my brother?
Who Jones?
Yeah, well, it's not launched yet, but when it launches, yeah, there'll be a lot of like giveaways and everything. But if you support, you'll be supporting a good cause as well.
Yeah.
Audition for Tropica, guys.
Aish. Island Tropica's, of Treasure.
Yeah, I think the auditions close next week. Next week, May? In beginning of May sometime. So
yeah.
Yo, I've been training hard for that, guys.
I see.
Yeah, there you need to know how to swim, how to run, everything.
Jump.
Too much.
Can you swim?
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
Yeah, of course. You know how many that
you went to an English school.
Can add an of course.
Ah, but it doesn't.
You didn't go to Eureka secondary school.
Eureka.
Yo, yeah, of course.
Isn't that a brick place?
That's what it is. You went to school.
I think we need to add that question. Have you been in a fight and can you swim?
So people must just look out on your social media for when you launch
the brand,
Jones. And then from an R&B point of view, can we expect anything?
I don't know.
You sing, bro?
Did you have it?
I don't know.
Steven Jones. I don't know.
I can hold the note, but I wouldn't say I'm like...
Is he injured?
Yeah. The best
one day, bro.
Singer. Maybe one day.
But are you gonna throw something at some point, do you think?
Maybe.
Aight.
You never know. You'll see it when you see it.
Aight.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the legend himself, Chad
Jones. Legend.
Formerly known as Lee Jones. The legend.
Legend. That's what I'm saying.
Yo, man, from me, the corn that pops.
And the cheese that's great.
We are RoboPops. And just like the U Jones merch, we are out.
Cancel. Henda, pidi pidi.
Iruna ba popcorn and cheesy.
Refetsa ho tfitla. The Kobe Mokaba, cause I'm a survivor. That family came now. But Mitsa MacGyver, because he's a survivor.
Yes.
Hakwamati Hutwa saliva.
Yes.
Abatebe Huri, he spits bars. Can't go to the college, two bar giddy cars. Kimu Venda, Kimu Venda. Abatebe Huri, and I can star.
Yeah.
Podcaster.
Yeah.
Broadcaster.
Yeah.
Marakonchu, Kilava. Koskolong, Kifada.
Yeah.
Baremekchi, MacGyver.
Yes.
Utwana Lizile Madaiva Ritwere Sol Ritwere Sol Urata Alcohol And oh, why are you always acting shady? How come Aruba on the ghost lady? Yo, Rekupa next time who interview a Juju. Please make it happen. Two.
Yeah.
The best episode. Keshebeshita Tweka. We couldn't do all of this without Fact Checker. Yeah.
Wow. Ho ska re bona re le bantle so. Re tlhapa go di basin.
Yeah.
But this tour is amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jason.
Yeah. Jason.
Ho ska re bona re godile so. Ne re sheba Kidio. Right now, our stuff has been shot by Black Studio.
The mic is on the floor! The mic is on the floor! The mic is on the floor!
K.O. wa rapper, are no. Rona re tshwere dikoko, bo lefuno.
Uska papa re tla o betla ka mpama. Ke tla o betla ka mpama. O ring monna.
Okay, are ending cipher. Sharp, sharp.
The battle continues. Next time we go Cape Town, the battle will continue there.
Issue.
Shout out to our sponsors, Striped Horse. Shout out to our sponsors, Ferro. Farofa. Faroro. Faroro. Ferrero Rocher Lebuchadikoloyi. Shout out to Jack Daniels. In the words of Soba Zola 7. Seven Pezul.
Seven
Pezul. But a Jack. Le Daniels. What's about Bujolabu Munata Hauna Lilibito listening?
Yes.
Yeah. Stripe Horse.
Yes.
Jack Daniels. How about a little bit of lay one? You must worry. Grencho. But we are learning, because Renali, she lost punch. Yo, man, big shout out to Limpopo Polokwane. Podcasting Chill Life to a Nation. We'll see you guys in Cape Town next. Makaiva, Roba wana kai go Cape Town.
We are in town.
Homecoming Center, Cape Town. Get your tickets, season Bonada. Oh, the show is sold out. Let's go. Yo, MacGyver, drop that
bomb.
Robo Pops, I'll be some cheese girl, I'm a cheese boy. We motivate, then we laugh as well. Stay on brand, never hard to sell. Got real chats, now my LOL. So we both got gang and we blessed as hell. Siyadlala story. Petting on my guests, I nice and moy. You and my bundles, not of joy. Said it's some pop pops and robot boys.
Popcorn and cheese.
Yeah?
Popcorn and cheese. Popcorn and cheese. Popcorn and cheese. Call you one boy like friends like bees. Popcorn and cheese.